Well, everybody that has stood up here so far has said Happy Father's Day, and I will be the last one that stands up and says Happy Father's Day. And as you leave today, fathers and all father figures, you're going to have one of four gifts to choose from. One is a magnet that can go up on anything that's metal, a refrigerator, whatever. One is a bookmarker. One is a notepad with a little sticky on the back. And final, a pen. So as you leave any one of those three major doors at the conclusion of our service, three of our teens will be there, and we want you to take a gift as our way of saying thank you for being a good dad, if you are one. And if you haven't been a good dad, just a time to recommit to being the God that dad calls us to be. Three of the qualities that I think of when I think of a good dad, can I just tell you what they are? One is stability, one is support, and one is strength. And so today we support and we congratulate dads who are committed to stability, support, and strength. I'm just thinking right now about what you must be thinking, or at least one of some of you might be thinking, and even if you're not thinking it, I am. Okay? This is what I'm thinking. Never in my 43 years of preaching have I stood before a church on a Sunday morning in a t-shirt. Never happened. And there's a reason. Here's the front of the t-shirt. You can all see that. And here's the back. Today is the last time I'm going to have a chance to preach on this, one of the I Am passages. And back, a month ago, Carlos and I were kind of brainstorming, hey, how about if we get some t-shirts? And I said to Carlos, well, Carlos, if we get them, we need to wear them. And he said, are you going to wear a t-shirt on a Sunday morning to preach in? I said, I don't know. And this morning when I got up to put it on, it was just, everything in me wanted to put another shirt on over top of it. So I'd have a t-shirt on. But then somebody said this morning when you got here, Dan, you got the t-shirt on. That was half the uniform. Why didn't you just wear blue jeans to go with it? And I can't do that. I'm sorry. Not on a Sunday morning. I just can't do that. And it's okay. It's okay. But today we are celebrating strength, support, and stability. And now the message for everybody, whether you're a father figure, or just a disciple of Jesus, only Jesus really supplies strength. John chapter 15, if you don't have your Bibles open there yet, I would encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. Jesus, as you know, and we're going to kind of fill in this the rest of this story, and as I was preparing for this message, there were some things that I saw contextually that I'd never really caught before that really helped to make the passage more meaningful to me and to drive it home to me. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'll be very vulnerable right now. I have been feeling a need for extra strength in recent days. I have been feeling very vulnerable in recent days. One of the preachers here, I've been feeling very vulnerable and very weak. And so I think it was timely that this message, it was my turn to preach, that this message is preached by me because I need to hear it. And I need to be reminded that Jesus is the real strength giver. John chapter 15, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Only Jesus supplies. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You with me? John chapter 15. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so then neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up and gathers them and casts them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so you prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be full in you, that your joy may be made full." How strong do you think the apostles were feeling right now? You know, here we are in the last half of the Gospel of John, and as is true in all of life, kind of contextualizing where we are, what's happened before, what's about to happen. It's very, very important so that we can savor the moment. And so, as I've already suggested to you, I have been feeling very vulnerable in the last week or two. I don't know all the reasons. I could point some of them, and we'll touch about those a little bit later. But I'm kind of thinking, I'm not the only one that's been feeling a need for extra strength. And I know that as Jesus is teaching the disciples right here, the question is, how strong were the apostles feeling? I think we can prove by the context as we read here that they were feeling very vulnerable. And you say, well, what gives you hints of how vulnerable they were feeling? Well, let me just say to you, when they signed up for this business of being an apostle of Jesus, they didn't sign up for what they were getting. That is to say, we've talked about this before, when they signed up for being an apostle of Jesus, for being a follower of this one that they had deemed to be the Messiah, they really did think that they were going to be some type of political leaders and that they were have some type of military or political power and that somehow this Messiah was going to dominate and that he was going to kick out those Romans who were the occupiers of Israel at this time. That's what they thought. That's exactly what they understood. They even had arguments with each other. Do you remember this earlier? About when Jesus comes in His authority, which one of us is going to be greatest? I want to be on the right hand. I want to be on the left. And so they had this notion that they were going to be some kind of important VIPs. This summer, as Carlos and I have been reaching through and preaching through the I Am statements, and there are seven of them. Next Sunday, Carlos is going to be wrapping up the last one. It's clear to see, as I've reviewed those, that every single story when Jesus introduces one of the I Am, he introduces it out of the context in which he finds himself. That's where he's talking. He takes something that's happening in their life, and he says, "Ah, I've got a message for you there." And we've already done this a little bit this morning. It reminds me that Jesus frequently used everyday examples to illustrate powerful spiritual lessons. And my friends, today the same needs to be true of all of us that are parents. Fathers, it's still true of us today that we use those everyday teachable moments to teach our children. And so Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, "Teach these things to your children when you sit at your home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." You're looking for those teachable moments. The kind of teaching that works is teaching that happens at teachable moments. Ours probably wouldn't be so much as when you walk by the road. Ours would probably be when you're driving in your car, as you're sitting at your breakfast table, or tonight as you put the kids in bed. You teach those teachable truths that need to be illustrated. And so bread was a part of everyday life, and Jesus used bread to teach. Sheep were a part of everyday life. Sheep gates were a part of everyday life. Vines were a part of everyday life. Vines were trimmed. Vines were dressed. Vines were cared for. And Jesus, in the story that we're looking at, says, "I am the vine. Stay connected to me. It is from me that you receive strength. The world is going to sap your strength. The world is going to destroy you. The world is going to prepare you or is going to leave you with things you weren't expecting." The I Am statements were connected with everyday life issues. The first one that Carlos introduced way, way back was, "I am the bread of life," early this summer. Jesus feeds over 5,000 people. Right after that miracle of feeding 5,000 people, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And we said, only Jesus fills me up. The next lesson Jesus taught, they were at the temple. Jesus and his apostles were at the temple. It was the Festival of Lights, one of their major Jewish holidays. Festival of Lights, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," John chapter 8 and verse 12. "He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Number three, they were looking out over the hills where the shepherds gathered their sheep and shepherded their sheep. And Jesus says, "I am the sheep gate. I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." So Jesus said, "I am the sheep gate. Only Jesus makes me his peep." Fourth, he went on to say, "I am the good shepherd." And that was the Sunday we brought in those little sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. That's what the good shepherd does. Jesus lays it down for me. Fifth, only Jesus gives real life. Just before Jesus raises Lazarus, that was 2 weeks ago we went there, Jesus then said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies," John chapter 11 and verse 35. Next week, Carlos is going to wrap up that last one that we're going to talk about. Carlos is going to talk about, only Jesus gives me the direction. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty much every funeral for a Christian that has ever been preached, I think, has used this passage. Jesus is the way. I am the direction. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. But today, I am the vine. John chapter 15. Can I contextualize this story? We read the seven I Ams, but I think this story takes place after the Lord's Supper, after the Last Supper. They'd been to the upper room. And they're already kind of getting the notion that this business of being in a right hand and a left hand, a person with the greatest or the second greatest authority, isn't going to be exactly what we thought it was going to be. It's not going to be like that. And so they're already scratching their heads and kind of perplexed us. What does this mean? I am the vine and you are the branches. So as they've taken the Last Supper, Jesus has already told them, one of you is going to betray me. And they take off from that upper room in the city of Jerusalem proper. They probably walk past the temple and along the front of the temple. Tradition says that there was mounted a vine and some vineyard and some grapes there that was mounted on the temple. And so Jesus, as they're walking from the upper room across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the one who is going to provide strength for you. Your strength may be sapped because this world isn't going the way you think it's going to go, apostles. One of you has already left me. One of you has already gone out to betray me. And the rest of you, Jesus knows. Jesus knows the rest of you. Before the next 24 hours are done, all of you are going to walk away from me." How strong are you feeling today? How capable are you feeling right now? Pretty sufficient? Or are you at one of those times right now that you're feeling vulnerable and inadequate? And like, no matter how much I do, it still isn't enough. I can't measure up. Let me just tell you, last Wednesday night when I heard the news, of the horrific shooting at a church where people were praying, I thought of our Bible studies and our meetings here and us welcoming strangers in. And it made me feel very weak. It made me feel very, very vulnerable. And that led to my thinking about those people in the movie theater or the congressman that was shot in the parking lot. And you can't protect yourself enough. We're all very vulnerable. Even at a church, you're vulnerable. It made me think of some of us in this room right now who are approaching retirement years. And your mortgage isn't paid yet. You don't have your house paid for. It made me think you don't have enough in your IRA to retire with the same standard of living that you're living with right now. Or maybe the opposite of that, that you're young and you're just getting started and you have your family in this little apartment or this little small house and you desperately need more space for your growing family. You don't know how you're going to afford more space. Or you're older, you've got this big old house, you need to downsize, you need to get into something smaller, and the whole process of that is just totally mind-boggling. Like, where do we start? What do we get rid of? What are the kids going to think? I'm talking of strength-sapping stuff, is what I'm talking of, that'll just pull the energy out of you. Your loved one is dealing with a terminal illness. Your spouse is dealing with chronic illness. You still really don't have the job that you want, and you don't know if you're ever going to get it, or you have no job at all. That'll sap your strength. Thought of Lynn. Your mother had a stroke in a faraway place, and you had to go help her die. And you're having to sort through all of her stuff. And tomorrow is her burial. That'll sap your strength. Or you were injured in an accident at work. You've been on workman's comp for months and you don't know about your future. Or you have a car, but you just can't seem to keep it running. It keeps dying one thing after another. Or here's one for me that just sapped my strength, my lawnmower. I paid to get it tuned up, repaired. You know what? I can't get it to run. Like, really? Yeah. Ugh. That saps your strength. Things just keep breaking down. You don't know how much more you can take. You have a kid that's headed off to college, and, well, things around your house are going to be different. How will they do? How will you afford it? Or some of our number have two kids headed off to college, and you don't wonder how we afford it. Because you know, we'll never be able to afford it, and we're going to be in debt for a long, long time. Or, we just buried my son, or my brother, or my mother, and I wasn't ready. That saps your strength. You have an adult child living with you, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. It really wasn't. That wasn't the way you planned it. You have an elderly parent, one with exceptional physical, emotional needs, and you just can't be there all the time. And as you try to offer advice, they won't listen to your advice. They won't act upon your good advice. Or when you were younger, you spent money like there was no tomorrow. You had a good job, and you're now living tomorrow, and you still have debt. Because of the way you live, that saps strength. Or you've tried and tried and tried to get along with the neighbor. You know, the one that lives across the street or next door to you. You've tried and tried and tried to be Jesus. But that relationship with your neighbor still isn't fixed. You tried to get that leaky roof repaired on your house. And no matter what you've done, it's still leaking. You've tried and tried and tried to overcome that addiction problem, that alcohol, that pornography, that addiction problem. And you just stumbled again and you went back to the thing that you'd been clean from. That saps strength. Or you have adult kids who have walked away from God, walked away from church. And you say to yourself, I didn't raise them like that. So, I've alluded to some of my strength-sapping issues. Have I caught any of your strength-sapping issues there? Have I mentioned any of the things that you're struggling with right now? I wanted to be real. I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be genuine. And I want to say, if any of those caught you, then this message is for you. It's for me. I want to say, if any of them didn't catch you, come see me. I need some encouragement right now. Or turn around to somebody that's sitting around you because they need some encouragement right now. Or better yet, that's where the apostles were. That's exactly where they were. Life wasn't going the way they thought. Their preconceived idea when they signed up to follow this Messiah, it wasn't working that way. And Jesus comes along in John 15 and He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Grab onto the vine. Be a branch." Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser." Let me tell you another reason their world was blown apart. They'd followed Him now for somewhere between 2 and 3 years. They'd seen Him do all these miracles, and they continued to get their anticipation built, like, wow, this Messiah, He's the real deal. He can even do miracles. He can even raise the dead. But then He does something so unpredictable as what happens 2 chapters earlier. You know, they've been in the upper room, and they think we're going to be something great, someone great. And they're waiting, as is their tradition in their culture, they're waiting for someone to come along and wash their feet. Because in their culture, that was what you did before you shared the Passover, or maybe you did on other occasions as well. A servant, a low person, the low person on the totem pole came and washed the feet. And you know what Jesus did? He blew their minds. There was no servant, there was no slave that came in and washed their feet. Rather, their Messiah came in and washed their feet. And they said, "What have we done? What have we signed up for? Why did we agree to this?" Only Jesus provides strength. And He says to them in John 13, verse 35, "What I have just done is I've washed your feet." It wasn't some lowly slave person that came in. It wasn't some hired hand. He said, "I gave you an example that you should do also for others just as I did for you." Only Jesus supplies, but He doesn't do it in the way we think He's going to. And sometimes that just really drives, that message drives itself home. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And the lesson I think He was teaching them, and the lesson for us today as well, is only Jesus provides strength. When things don't go the way we think they're going to go, when they're not exactly what we expected, only Jesus provides strength. And you know, since the days of old, since the Old Testament days, that's the way it's been. God doesn't work in the predictable ways. I read in my journey through the Bible only a few weeks ago, I've read through the book of Joshua. And you know, one of the phrases that comes in the book of Joshua over and over and over again, if you've read through it recently, or if you've heard a sermon about it, one of the messages that came through, here it is: be bold and courageous, do not be afraid. That's the message. What made this entreaty remarkable, Joshua says to the people of Israel, "Be bold and courageous, do not be afraid," is that it flies smack in the face of everything that we are hearing today from nearly every family, even in church prayers, parting admonition. And I've heard it from this pulpit: God, keep us safe. Bring us together at the next appointed time. Keep us safe. Our prayers for our people in the military: keep them safe. It's not for boldness. It's not for victory. keep them safe. I can't remember the last time I heard a parent say to their child, or that I said to one of my children, or a preacher say to his church, "Now above all things, be bold and courageous. Don't waste your life living timidly." Jesus said that those who try to save their lives will lose their lives. That's what Jesus said. So as you go out, be bold and courageous. Do not be afraid. Those whose main concern is to live safely may live longer, but they won't enjoy life nearly as much. They will die with the regret of never having lived, for never having accomplished what bravery and courage would have led to. I wonder in the book of Joshua, what would have happened? I wonder what would have happened. Actually, I don't really wonder at all, because I think I know what would have happened. What would have happened as you read through the book of Joshua if Joshua had said this? "Now above all, don't take any unnecessary risk. Preserve your life at all costs. Remember that coming back alive is more important than victory. Be sure to pack an umbrella. Take an extra canteen. If you have to choose between taking an extra weapon and an extra pair of running shoes, by all means, take the shoes because you may need to make a hasty retreat. The most essential thing to remember is caution. The minute that you see we may be losing, run for your life, head for the hills." What if Joshua had said that? What if Jesus had said that? But he doesn't. He says, "I am the vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Find strength in me." As they head across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, were they going to need strength? They were going to need some strength because the Roman army was coming, because Judas was coming. And Jesus is praying for strength. And you know what they're doing when he's in the garden? They're sleeping. They needed strength. They needed a hook onto the vine. Only Jesus supplies strength when our energy is sapped. Only Jesus provides just not what we need to survive, but what we need to thrive. Those first century disciples, they finally got a hold of it, but it was late. And so we're going to end the message today in a very, very unusual way. In a very unusual way. We're not going to sing an invitation song. At least not yet. We are going to stand in a moment. And we're going to take about 3 minutes, Mike, if we can do that. 3 minutes. And during those 3 minutes, I want you to turn around to the person behind you or beside you or in front of you. And I want you to share a strength sapping situation that you're facing right now. And I want you to have a short prayer together. If it's a stranger, that's okay. If it's a family member, that's okay. A time that you need the supply that Jesus, the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. Maybe you're in your teens about to head off to college. Maybe in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. We've all got them. So we're going to stand. You can go ahead and stand now. And then, Mike, we're going to let about 3 minutes go by, and then we are going to sing that song. And I simply want you to share with the person around you what is the strength-sapping situation that you're facing right now.